David Scott, can you explain in layman terms what the Agreement on Enhancing Scientific Cooperation means?
Thanks. I'll do my best. I think a good starting point is the recognition by the Arctic states, as well as other polar players who are not Arctic states. The Arctic can be a very difficult place to work. It's vast. The conditions are often harsh, even in the summertime. And certainly the Inuit have always known that it's often best to collaborate and work together on things, particularly in those areas that are quite remote, logistically challenging, and are often, in some cases, dangerous to work in. So there's a very good driver, a natural driver, for the eight member countries of the Arctic Council to work together to enhance cooperation on scientific work in the Arctic. The real goal here is to make it easier to create knowledge that can be shared about the region. The climate is changing. We don't know nearly enough about what exactly is happening in terms of climatic change and how it would impact and how we can model into the future. So there's certainly a strong desire to work together, particularly in those more challenging regions of the Arctic, to create new knowledge that can be very quickly turned into action.
Now, the agreement that was reached in Ottawa is called ad referendum, which means it will be subject to further approval by, I guess, the politicians, foreign ministers later.
Yes, that's correct. So the negotiating teams, one from each of the Arctic countries, with the participation, of course, of many of the observer countries to the Arctic Council, have spent essentially the past 3 years, spread out over 9 meetings, discussing the issues and finding the common ground. So at the conclusion of the Ottawa round of discussions last week, we were very pleased that we were able to, essentially come up with a text that addressed all of the important issues, basically to the satisfaction of each of the negotiating teams. And it's now the responsibility of each of the countries to bring that back, check in with, each country's respective authorities and approval system. And in the case of Canada, we're checking with the other federal agencies whose mandates are impacted by this. So it's the science-based departments and agencies, as well as, for example, Canadian Border Services, because this agreement is about, in one aspect, ease of entry and exit of foreign nationals who are coming to collaborate on new science knowledge. There's also a need for a legal review, so various legal folks in the Global Affairs Canada who deal with international treaty law will be scrutinizing the intent of the text and will be checking against that from a legal perspective. We anticipate this work will be completed over the coming months. There'll be a need to check in, as you mentioned, with the political level, with the federal government, the cabinet, and get their approval. The intent is to be able to have the eight foreign ministers sign this agreement once it's finalized at the upcoming ministerial meeting that will conclude the U.S. chairmanship, and that takes place in April of 2017. It's in May of 2017 in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Yes. Now, why, if I understand correctly, once this is signed by the foreign ministers, this becomes a legally binding document? Is that correct?
That's correct. It's essentially an international treaty. Yeah, where the participating countries have agreed to, essentially facilitate, and that means, really to work hard to make things work, so that we are able to more efficiently welcome others to Canada and to assist them in, in many cases bringing in specialized scientific equipment that will help our collaborative efforts to create new knowledge. And help them in some cases get that equipment back out of the country, and in some cases to transport samples out of the country. Now, it's a very important feature here that all existing laws of each of the participating countries need to be respected. So in this case, you know, we're not looking to bend the rules or do things that aren't already foreseen. Canada has expectations about who is admissible to our country. We're not looking to change those rules. Canada has rules about the movement of certain types of samples, plants, for example. Those existing rules and regulations will need to be followed. But what we're committing to under this agreement is to ensure that those processes are very clear, and that when our participating partners want to get into or out of Canada, when they're planning a project, that they're aware of those expectations and the timelines that go with them, so that we can expedite the planning process and ensure at the time of the joint work that things work the way they are supposed to work. And we will enjoy that as Canadian researchers when we choose to work with our partner Arctic countries in their countries. So, for example, Canadians looking to partner with Russian scientists, for example, it'll be a little bit more straightforward, hopefully, for those partnerships to take place.
Why was there why was it felt that there was a need for a treaty?
Well, that's a decision that was taken sort of before my direct involvement here. This was initiated under the Canadian chairmanship 4 years ago. And the idea there was to come up with some sort of an agreement or a memorandum of understanding that would allow the facilitation of this cooperation. And during the course of those discussions, a number of countries, including Russia and the U.S., decided it would be more effective if this actually was elevated to the level of a treaty to ensure that there was some real solidity to it. And that it would be able to really stand the test of time.
Okay. Now, you touched on it briefly. Can you explain in practical terms, what will this do for scientists like you? How is this going to make life easier for you?
Okay. It's a very good question. And let me put it in the Canadian context. Canada has about one quarter of the Arctic in a global context, but we don't have a corresponding amount of capacity to study the unknowns in that Arctic. You know, there's a lot of scientific activity already underway by Canadian scientists from universities, federal departments, the territorial governments. In many cases, Northerners themselves are undertaking research. But we really believe that there's a strong interest and a need to bring additional qualified folks to Canada to assist us with creating knowledge. And it's not just knowledge about the Canadian Arctic. It's knowledge that matters in a global context. There's a growing recognition that information about the polar regions, both north and south, is really key to understanding how the environment is changing, how the climate is changing, and specifically how we can be more predictive about that. And many of the current models that are predicting climate evolution, for example, don't fully take into account all of the phenomena that occur in the Arctic. So there's a growing global desire to learn more about the polar regions. Many non-polar countries, the UK, France, Germany, many of the European states, China, South Korea, Japan, are all keen to learn more about the polar regions, north and south, and to contribute to that global knowledge and understanding of how global systems are evolving. So we think it will assist us in bringing international partners into Canada to work with Canadians, and to enhance the level of new knowledge that can be created by working collaboratively. So we think it'll help to make those processes a little bit more efficient, to get people in and out, to work together with Canadians, and create that knowledge that is going to be required globally. To better understand how our planet functions and hopefully how we can better prepare for the changes that are coming. I mean, immediate beneficiaries will be folks in the north, as well as people in the mid-latitudes where most people live, distant from the polar regions, but definitely impacted by phenomena that are happening at both the northern and southern polar regions.
Can you give me a few examples of areas of research that would benefit from this treaty?
It's really wide-ranging, and we tried very hard to be neutral with respect to any sort of subject matter. We kept it in very general terms, So we're not prescriptive here as to what what specific science or investigations would take place. We're leaving that kind of work to bodies like IASC, the International Arctic Science Committee, that has recently come up with an international collaborative assessment of what some of the bigger issues are, and with not a big surprise there, a lot of them are around the changing environment. The physical environment, biological environment, the atmosphere, and a lot of these things are kind of bundled up in climatic change. So we're not trying to set the science agenda here, but the work we would anticipate that folks might wish to do with Canadians, a lot of it does focus on the marine and terrestrial environment and how that environment is now changing, trying to calibrate that change, get change vectors established, so that we can better understand what might happen in the future. I think this is good for Canada. I think it will assist us in creating more knowledge about Canada, and it will be globally relevant knowledge about Canada. And from the perspective of the organization that I have the privilege to lead, Polar Knowledge Canada, we really are trying to ramp up the creation of new knowledge that is primarily intended to benefit the lives of northern Canadians, and when it does that, it has the positive side effect of creating additional knowledge at the global scale. So we're trying to play into the global agenda. It's largely aligned with the Canadian knowledge creation agenda, which in many ways is focused on creating benefits for northerners. They are the ones who are living in this dramatically changing environment, trying to make a way forward. The economy is changing, the climate is changing, social dynamics are changing. So the more we can create appropriate knowledge, hopefully in the short term we can create better opportunities for northerners.